Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I'm excited to be with you. And we're going to be, I get to continue this series on parables, ears to hear. And I trust you've been listening as Pastor Joseph has been sharing about the parables. And I know last week he talked about the lost coin and about and I love those parables because it really speaks to the heart of God and that God is obsessed with lost things. And today I'm going to be talking about, we're going to look at a parable in Luke chapter 18 here in a few minutes. And the title of the message is The Picture and the Process. The Picture and the Process. How many of you are photographers in the house? Like you like take pictures seriously either for a living or just like it's a big hobby, okay? Reality is all of you probably have a camera in your pocket, right? I mean, we live in this world now where we are, it's so convenient. You can take a picture at any moment. Just pull out, and even if you, I don't know if it's a Samsung thing too, but now with these iPhones, I mean, you don't even have to put in any information to get to your home screen. They just created that little picture button because they know how important it is to you. And we're going to talk about this today, this picture and the process, because pictures are so important to us today. All right, Instagram, there are 95 million pictures posted on Instagram every day. 95 million. So we love pictures because pictures tell a story. And Jesus knew this, and so Jesus was painting pictures with the stories that he told. When we're reading scripture, we're reading about the teachings of Jesus, we kind of take this for granted a little bit. But at that time, there was no Instagram, there was no televisions, there wasn't anything like this. To give pictures of what the kingdom of God was now at hand, what it was now to follow Jesus, to live for Jesus. As Jesus was teaching, he was giving them pictures. He was painting these pictures. And this is so important for us to look at this as we, and it just jumped out as I looked at this this parable. And so we're going to look at two pictures Jesus describes in this one parable. But before we do, can we pray? Let's do that. God, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for Crossroads. Thank you for every single person right here, right now. Lord, you love every person here. You have a plan for their lives. And Lord, you want to speak an important truth through the story that you told that we're going to look at today. So prepare our hearts for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Kylie. So before we jump into the scripture, I want to kind of dive deeper into this idea of the picture and the process. So I'm going to show you two of my own pictures and talk about the two different processes between these two pictures, because they're very different. So this is a first picture. This picture is my great-great-great uncle, Carl Alf. And this is a picture from somewhere, I think it dates about 1885. Okay, I do a lot of research on my family, and I'm thankful that my mom and my dad both, you know, kind of every picture that was a family picture, they kind of gathered. So I've been able to, I've been given some of these pictures. And I just did a little research on this type of picture. Anybody have a picture like this? It's a card. Anybody have one of these? Okay, a couple of you. So this is called a cabinet card. So this was kind of the second wave of picture taking after the camera was invented. And these cards are probably about, 6x9 cards, kind of like a heavy card stock, all right? And the process for Carl to get this picture taken was, first of all, because he didn't, he didn't have a car or anything, he was probably walking or riding a horse or something like that, to get to the place in Sweet Springs, Missouri, to have his picture taken. And then, and so that process in and of itself was, probably lengthy, depending on where he lived. He probably lived in a rural area, so just getting there was probably a little bit of time. And then he obviously got dressed up for this, had a nice outfit, also has an incredible mustache. I mean, a mustache that all men only dream to have. So he had the mustache wax, all that kind of stuff, to get ready for this picture, which there weren't going to be, like, when you go and you get your family pictures taken, I mean, you get to choose from probably, 100, to pare it down to maybe the 5 that you really like. I'm sure it was like 1 or 2, and that was it. The cost for about 12 of these was a day's wage, which at that time was about $2, all right? So that was the process to get this, to get these cards that he would then hand out to family or friends and keep in his cabinet, the cabinet card. Now, that was 1885. That was the picture and the process behind that one. Now I want to show you one from 2019, all right? So this is my wife and I right over here. We came here for the Christmas Eve service, and I want to tell you about the process for this picture. I think it was just after service ended. I walked over in that area, and I was like, oh, they have a place for pictures. And so I went over to my wife. I said, do you want to get our picture taken? Because there's a place right over here. So after we got done talking to some friends, we walked right over there. We took out one of our phones, gave it to someone we really trust that really knows how to use one of these things, and just and then said, take some pictures. And then I sifted through about 10 different pictures to show you this one. That was the process. Two very different pictures with two very different processes. And it's really fascinating as I look at these two things, because in 1885 and in 2019, there were two different processes for my wife and I and my family member to really have this moment where we look good enough that we can show other people. Two very different processes. In the same way, there's different processes for making ourselves look good for God. Very different ways in which we present ourselves before God. And the parable that we're going to look at today is about righteousness. Righteousness is this word that basically means being right with God. And it's important to us today, and it was important to people 2,000 years ago, that we're standing in front of Jesus listening to the story that he told them. How am I to be right before God, to look good before him? How do I do that? People were concerned with that, and up to that point, there was pretty much one way. There was one way, which was you do all the right things the best you possibly could. But Jesus told this parable we're going to look at here in just a second to really begin to shake things up. And he talked about righteousness a lot. In Matthew 5:6, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Those who hunger and thirst for it. It's important to seek righteousness, but what it looks like and how we get there really, really matters. And that's why Jesus told the story that we're going to look at. The picture and the process. Every picture has a process. Every one that we look at. And for us, spiritually, to really see God's picture of righteousness, you have to understand His process. If you really want to understand and you really want to know what is the right way to righteousness, you have to understand God's way and the right process. How do we get to that point that we can stand before God, presentable for Him? What does that look like, and how do we get there? Thankfully, Jesus, He uses this story and He paints this incredible picture, two pictures next to each other to show us, contrasting pictures to describe a man's process and God's picture of what it means to be right before Him. So let's take a look. We're going to look at Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. If you have your Bibles, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Or you can read right up here on the screen. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself, and he prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like the other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me because I'm a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, just to kind of go back to the beginning of this parable, it's kind of interesting that this parable starts off with an explanation. Luke tells us at the very beginning of it, he says, Jesus told this story to someone who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. This is only one of three instances where Jesus, before he tells the story, Luke tells us this is why he's telling the story. This is it. There were some in the crowd that he was talking to that were basically saying, I've got it all together, and I see a lot of other people don't. And so Jesus has this purpose from the very beginning, helping people understand, here's really the picture, and here's the new process. The Pharisees naturally viewed themselves as pretty good people who do all the right things, while tax collectors were predominantly looked down upon and hated. So he's giving us two people, the Pharisee, that everybody knew. This is the person. This is what a Pharisee does. They do all the right things, and everybody looks at them. And then we have the tax collector, who a lot of people really don't like. And he uses these two pictures to give us two different pictures and two different processes. I want to take a moment and look at these two opposites. This is actually called a synchrosis, which is a comparison of two opposites. A lot of times we'll take two things and, hey, look, they look really close. Jesus is saying, no, look at these two pictures. They're about as far away as possible. Complete opposites, the Pharisee and the tax collector. So as you look at these two things and as we kind of break it apart, the Pharisee first proudly announced his greatness. He compared himself to others. He considered himself righteous because of his achievements. He was confident in his own efforts. And then he had this long, well-constructed prayer. If you go back and read this, this is kind of what it breaks down to. And then the tax collector, on the other hand, completely different. He was humble and stood far away. If you can imagine it, just think about this. If Jesus is painting this picture right now, it would be the Pharisee standing right here, just kind of like, yep, look at me. I've done everything right. And then he's saying, you know, the tax collector, he's back there in the corner, and you can barely see him, and he's got his head down. He's looking down, and he's doing this with remorse. He humbly approached God. He dared not compare himself, note this, to God. He didn't look at anybody else. He was concerned with God. He says, not even looking to heaven. He was looking down. He didn't really care about anybody else. He was like, I can't look up. I can't even look at God right now. Unlike the Pharisee, who was like, yeah, much better. Much better than that person, that person, that person. I got it all together. The tax collector is looking down. He doesn't even, it's like, it's just me and God right now. It's not about all these other people. It's just me and God, and I can't even look up. I can't look up right now. He was remorseful about his actions. And he had a very short, honest prayer. Notice that. Sometimes we get really caught up in our prayers that they got to sound really, really good. Jesus is shattering this with these two pictures. He's saying, I don't really need a really long, eloquent prayer. I need an honest one. From your heart. The best prayers that you can pray, whether it's in your car on a stressful day or right here at the altar, is one that comes from right here. One that comes from right here that says, God, this is where I really am, and I desperately need you. So Jesus, he's painted these opposite pictures, and he makes a very important statement. I want to look at this scripture. This one verse, one more time. He says this, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. Gave the two pictures. He painted them right before everybody. Everybody could visualize these two images. He's using two very popular figures. Pharisees, who think they've got it all together, and tax collectors, who everybody thinks is crooked and terrible, and everybody hates them. He says, look at these two. You know the one that you really don't like? The one that you would want in the back of the corner? The one that you think should be doing this and not looking up? That's the one who stands right before me. That's the picture that looks the best. That process, what he went through, so much better than the one that's standing up saying, look at me, I've got it all together. It's very profound. In saying this, Jesus, he's making this very important statement about the picture and the process of righteousness. By pointing to that picture of the sinner, Jesus reminds his audience and us today of this important statement. The perfect picture starts with imperfect people. Now, doesn't that sound real good? The perfect picture starts with imperfect people. Man, it's so good. It's so reassuring. Because you all of us in this room, and everybody listening online, let's face it, we got our stuff. We've got our imperfections. But Jesus is saying, that's what I need, a heart that's fully aware of its imperfections. When we take pictures together as a family, when we have those moments, whether it's on a vacation or a family event or anything like this, there's a statement that my wife likes to say to whoever we hand the phone to. And it's this: take a lot. Take a lot. Because my wife's going to take the phone and she's going to look at the pictures, and there's going to be, you know, one kid that's looking down, or I've got my chin up too much, or somebody's got their eyes closed, or, you know, we all have these pictures, right? The imperfect ones. If you only take one and then you get back, you're like, oh man, that was terrible. We needed like 20, 30 takes. On some of these cameras, you know, on the phone, if you just hold the button, it just like, you know, and then you get to go all through those. We have these multiple attempts because the first take or the second take or the third take wasn't good enough. And that leads me to this question. Are you tired of feeling like your efforts aren't good enough? Really, be honest with yourselves this morning. Are you tired of feeling like, I've tried to do everything the way that I think God would want me to do it, and I keep falling short, and I keep feeling like I come here on a Sunday morning, or maybe you pick up your Bible or pick up this Bible, and you're going to have your quiet time with God, and you're like, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. I suspect that there's some of you have that in you right now. Maybe you walked in, you're like, I keep failing. This week I had this happen, and I slipped up again in this area in my life. I don't know if I'm good enough. The beauty is that Jesus, by telling these two pictures and pointing to the tax collector who was beating at his chest with his head down, is saying, that opens the door for my grace. That opens the door for my grace, which is sufficient for everything that you came in with and said, man. That's the beauty of it. That's what Jesus is trying to communicate with the pictures and the process. If you're tired of feeling that way, if you're tired of trying to look the part and knowing, honestly, you're faking it, or you're tired of feeling like, I don't know that I can even stand before God, I think it's important for us to kind of take a look at this for a few steps that Jesus would want us to take from this teaching, from this parable, for us to have kind of like this idea of a picture retake. How many remember picture retakes in school? All right. Picture retake day. For all you had a lot? Okay. Moment of honesty. You had your eyes closed. You were looking the other way. Whatever it was, you needed a picture retake. So I want to look at four steps. Four actions, four things in this process, the process that Jesus would have us take to get to the picture that God is desiring for us. The first thing is this: be aware that because of sin, you are unacceptable. Awareness, okay? Because of sin, you are unacceptable. The Pharisee was delusional. That was the problem with his picture. He really thought, I've got it all together. I have impressed God enough. Fact is, we live in a fallen world. Now, this isn't to excuse sin, okay, because willful sin is a whole nother category. That's a whole nother conversation. We're talking about our role as humans walking in this world of brokenness and sin and temptation and understanding what Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, and he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have fallen short, okay? Which is why we need Jesus. That's why we need him. And that's why he needs us to start with this. Man. He needs that picture. Not the picture that says, yeah, I'm good. Look at me. Got it all together. So, the first step is to be aware that because of sin, you are unacceptable. The second step is to remember that your attitude is more important than your effort. Now, don't get me wrong, faith will have works attached to it. That's what James is talking about in James chapter 1 and chapter 2, that faith will produce good works. As you desire God and a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, as you pursue him more and more and more and get closer to him and grow, more and more things will happen in your life and because of your faith. But you can't get it backwards. You can't start with effort. Of saying, I've got to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this, and then finally God will be like, yeah, good job. We have to erase that from our thinking. Before God can change you, you have to approach God like the tax collector with a tender heart that is in need of grace and mercy. You see these two pictures, the important part of the process is the Pharisee who was standing before, you know, this picture of just like, God, I'm glad I'm not like everybody else because I've already done it all. I've already taken care of everything and I'm good. There's this air of like, I don't need God because I've already done it all. The tax collector, the beauty of that picture was this desperate need to be close to God. I want to be close to God. I want to remove all this junk. I want to remove all the sins, all the corruption in my life. I need you, God. And I need the forgiveness that only your Son can bring. So remember that your attitude is more important than your effort. Philippians 3:9, I love this. Paul says, I no longer count on my righteousness through obeying the law. He's saying, I'm no longer that guy. I'm no longer the Pharisee who's trying to do everything right, becoming right with God by doing everything right. He says, rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. That's how I become right with God, is by believing in Jesus, inviting him into my life, surrendering to him more and more every day. That's the how. That's the process. Third step for us is let God be the developer. Let God be the developer. The development process for pictures has changed so much. Some of you here today remember a time when you actually had this little black container that had film in it that you actually had to travel to a store. You had to take it there. They would put it in an envelope, and then a week later, yeah, 7 days before you could actually see your pictures, you'd go back to the pharmacy or the little, maybe it was Walmart or whatever. And then they'd hand you this envelope, and in it, you'd go and you'd look through, and you'd realize, wow, there's like 10 or 15 pictures that are not any that I want to show anybody. What a massive disappointment. There was a process to develop it all. If you rely on you, if you rely on you to be right with God, the only person that will be praised is you. Don't you think about this for a moment. If you're the person that's developing this right relationship with God on your own, with your own efforts, who's getting all the praise? It's you, and it's probably just you patting you for what you did. On the other hand, if you say, God, I want you to develop me, and start with your son to get rid of all the stuff, all the pictures that I don't want to see anymore. I don't want to see those pictures anymore. I need your son. I need his forgiveness. I need him to transform me, to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, to take away the shame and the hurt. And yeah, that process is going to take time. But I promise you this, the one who gets the praise is the one who's been developing you. And I think, I really think that's for a few of you here today. This understanding that as you trust God to be the one who develops you, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's this process, it's this fancy word called sanctification. And it's ongoing, where he's continuing to just chisel away at all the things that are imperfect. It's like this sculptor just chiseling away all the things that don't belong, the imperfections, all your junk, all your mistakes. He just keeps going. And along the way, you're going to make more mistakes, and you're going to think, wow, this doesn't look very good. And he's like, yeah, but I'll use it. I'll use it if you let him be the developer. If you try to figure it out, you try to do it on your own, it's just about you. But if you just continually go to him and start, end your day saying, Lord, keep going. Keep working on me. I need you. That's the picture. That's the picture that looks good to God. One who comes to him with a sense of just, I need you to continue to develop me. And with this, you know, I think I needed to park here just a little bit, because during worship, God just brought this scripture to my mind, and it wasn't anything that I had planned on, but it just dropped it in my heart. And, you know, there's this incredible image that Paul talks about in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And starting with verse 5, he says, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let there be light in the darkness. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Now this is the part that really connects it all. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our power is from God, not from ourselves. This image of jars of clay, fragile jars of clay, and this talk of light, it says, we have this light shining in our hearts. And then he says, but We ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. So there's this idea of this fragile jar. And if you can think about it in your own life, you probably have or you have had something that was special to you that was fragile. And then maybe it got a crack or a blemish or something like that. But it was so special that you were like, I'm still going to keep this. I don't want to get rid of this. It's too important to me. You see, God doesn't want, he really wants to tell somebody this. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, and how imperfect you may, you know, realize you are, he doesn't want to get rid of you. He actually wants you to surrender your heart to him. And you know, all those imperfections and the cracks, it's that light that's inside the jar. It's inside you. And as people see you and they realize, yeah, that person's not, they've got some flaws, they got their stuff, I know some of their story, but there's something shining. Even though all that stuff, and there's something shining inside them. And I could see it. What is it? I want to know more. That's what we are. We're like these fragile jars that have cracks and blemishes, but through it all, there's something shining in this, in us. That's what he wants, because he gets the glory, not us. He doesn't want to discard anybody in this room. He really wants to use you for amazing, mighty things in your everyday life, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your workplace. He wants that. Will you let him be the developer? You know, just to conclude with, in just a moment, I'll share this fourth thing, but as I was just kind of talking or walking through this scripture and just writing down some different thoughts and ideas, I thought about the time I went up in the St. Louis Arch. Has anybody been in the Arch before? Okay, a few of you. If you're claustrophobic, I would not recommend it, because you get in this little, like, I don't know, it's like this little tram or something, where three people get in this, and you're like this, and you just kind of, you travel all the way to the top, and there's a whole bunch, you know, there's probably like 25 people that can go up at once, and you go up there, and I was actually on a missions trip with some folks, and we were just small, not a huge place for you to look out of, but enough for probably 25, 30 people to be up there. And we're up there, and you know, we're trying to take pictures, and you're looking at everything, and I had this moment where I was standing, and there was another group that was kind of trying to get a really good picture with the view behind them. And I had this moment where I was kind of ornery, and I just decided, I'm going to photobomb this. And so I just kind of waited right for the right moment, and I just went, you know. And the lady who was holding the camera was not amused, actually. She was like, really? How old are you? And I'm like, well, in this moment, you know, not very old, pretty immature. But you know, so this lady, whether it was on the way down from the Arch or later that afternoon, she had a moment where she was going through her pictures and she saw me. And I'm guessing she deleted that picture. But I'm sharing this story to set up one last picture I want to show you. And it's the fourth step of the process. And here's the picture. So I was going through my pictures on my phone. The 10 or so that we took right over there. Oh, and you can keep that picture up just for a second. And this is my son, Jackson. And Jackson, in this moment, we still have that picture? in this moment decided, I want to be in this picture. I want to be in this picture. I texted him the picture, and he said, Dad, the iPhone has this feature. You press on the picture, and it'll rewind it so you can keep the good part, and, you know, you can kind of crop me out or whatever. But I decided I wanted to keep this. I didn't delete this picture because it was funny. And here's the other thing. I didn't delete this picture because my son's in it. And this leads to the last thing I want to share with you. The perfect picture has nothing to do with how good you look. The perfect picture has to have God's Son in it. That's the picture that God's looking for. No matter what you've been through, no matter what's going on in your life, and for those of you who are struggling with worth, I'm really getting that sense in this room that there's some of you just, you don't really think a lot of yourself, and you're thinking, there's no way that I could look that good before God, and you're wrong. Because if Jesus is in the picture, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So the last step is to invite Jesus into the picture. Invite Jesus to be in your picture. In this room today, I believe, as I was praying yesterday and just saying, God, I want specific words for specific people. You know, and I started praying through these two pictures, and I believe God just really pressed on my heart and said, Jay, there's people in both of these pictures that are going to be in the room. The first picture, really, if you look at it and you take away all the labels and the, you know, the tax collector Pharisee thing, you have one person who thought, I've got it all together. And you look at the other picture, and it's one who says, I'm pretty broken inside. I'm pretty broken inside. The first person who says, yeah, I walked in here and I think I've got it all together. The more and more you work and work and work to make yourself look good, here's what happens. You get really worn out, and in your heart, you're pretty empty. For the person that's feeling broken inside, in your heart, there's a lot of stuff. And there's dreams that are shattered. There's pain, there's shame, there's all this brokenness. And Jesus is saying, I just want to put it back together. Will you let me? And for the person that's saying, I feel so empty and I'm so tired. He's just saying, well, will you let me in? Because there's a lot of room. If you're feeling empty, there's a lot of room for Jesus. So if you will, bow your heads with me for just a moment. With these two pictures in your mind and in your heart, you know exactly where you are and where you stand before God. You know how you feel. You know whether or not you're looking down or you're looking up, or you've been spending way too much time looking at other people. And if you're here today and you're saying, I'm empty inside and I'm tired and I'm ready for Jesus just to fill me, and I don't want to try to be right with God on my own efforts anymore. I want to lay down my pride and humble myself before God. Starting today, I want to invite Jesus. I want to invite him to come in and do the work I've been trying to do. So if you're here and you're tired, worn out, and empty, if that's you, just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for. You're just tired. And you're like, yeah, yeah, I see it. Yes, thank you. Yes, this is a first step towards humility right here, just raising your hand. All right, yes, yes. Right now in this moment, I just pray for strength. Strength to begin to lay down all the tasks, all the to-do lists, and to be able to say, Jesus, I just want to surrender my heart to you today. I really want you to develop me from this moment forward. And if you're here today and you are broken inside, you are broken inside, and you're saying, shame is my enemy. You're saying insecurity and this feeling of worthlessness. And I just rebuke that in Jesus' name right now. I pray right now, if that's you in any way, shape, or form, just raise up your hand. Just say, that's me. I'm broken. I've shame, hurt. Yes, yes, yes. Right now, you know the hearts here that are crying out. And in this moment, if you've raised your hand, and even if you didn't, and you are at that point where you have so much brokenness, and you've not stood at the back of the room, you've stood outside the room, right now, here's the prayer. I want you to just quietly, right where you're at, Jesus, I need you. Right now, say that with your heart. Jesus, I need you. I need you, desperately need you. And last but not least, I want to just give an opportunity. If you're here today and you are far from God, you do not have a relationship with Him, maybe you're here for the first time, maybe you're here and you're drifting through life without purpose, and you want to begin today a life-changing journey with Jesus Christ. Right now, in this moment, just in a moment of prayer, just raise up your hand and say, I want to just follow Jesus starting today. I'm ready to commit my life to Jesus. Okay. All right. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for these pictures. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would continue to invite you in every day to develop us, to draw us close, Lord, to change us. Why? So you get the glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.